This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Yeah, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, here we go. We're coming down the stretch. We said it was a big night, and guess what? It wasn't. That was a total snooze.
Ottoman game, as you would call it.
Like, dude, Phoenix, are you there?
No.
I knew you were bad.
Yeah.
But that's where you are?
I guess. And
holy crap.
John Bloom joined us yesterday,
yeah.
Radio play-by-play announcer for the Suns, and you know I love John Bloom. And
you do love John Bloom.
And he kind of all but said it in his tone. Like, he didn't say flat out, we stink and we're getting clobbered, but there wasn't a lot of, you know what, it's a win or lose. It's a win or go home for us. And
prideful
this and that.
Night.
Right. It was kind of like, well, I mean, guys, I mean, you see it and I see it. And I even asked him directly about Coach Bud. Like, what do you think in the future? And he didn't want to answer it. But what I heard in his tone was, he's gone and this whole thing is going to change.
The whole thing's going
to
blow up.
It has
to. And the Warriors just, I mean, what a perfect thing when they've got three games in four nights. What a perfect thing to have those, you know, the key players in the second half just watch basketball. You know, we got a Pat night. I love a Pat night.
Yep.
For the Warriors in the fourth quarter.
I think shout out TJD getting some minutes.
Well, TJD got actual minutes.
He
got real minutes, and then he got fake minutes also.
Right.
So real and fake all at the same time. How about that?
Pretty funny.
But anyway, yeah, like this whole thing. That was perfect. That's exactly what the Warriors needed, and I think you're going to get a lot of that. You're going to get a lot of that this week. And yes, I would expect and hope for more of that tonight, which is why, you know, foot has to be on the gas at all times, because you never know when a bunch of NBA players are suddenly going to go on a heater, which is what happened in Minnesota last night. And that's huge, huge for the Warriors. Minnesota is in Memphis tomorrow night. You are big Minnesota fans. Because essentially, if Minnesota can win that game, I think the Warriors will handle business and be no worse than the sixth seed by Friday night when we go to bed. That's what's on the table. You win tonight, you win against Portland, and Minnesota beats Memphis tomorrow night, you clinch a playoff spot.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
And even beyond that, like, you look ahead of you, and Denver's lost four in a row, and they seem like a team in somewhat of disarray, and you've got the Clippers. You're tied with the Clippers. And if they win their next two, and so do you, and then you beat the Clippers, there's a chance that you can get to the four seed. There's an outside chance you get to the three. I know that. Tonight's going to be fascinating with L.A. and Luka at Dallas.
Luka's in Dallas tonight.
I can't wait to see that, because Dallas is still, like, if Dallas wins, then they're in. It's a win and in the play-in. And if you lose, there's still an outside chance that Phoenix can catch you. They probably won't. But for Dallas, you're motivated. Luka's back. It's the Lakers. And you can win and make the play-in. So tonight, and I think it's a 4:30. 4:30 game.
It's the front end of the ESPN double dip.
I cannot wait.
Denver and Sacramento is the second game.
And I can't wait as we get closer to talk about like what the Dallas fan base will do, boo or cheer, video tribute or not. Luka coming off of a pretty embarrassing performance where he gets thrown out for trash-talking a fan.
Right. Did the ref think that he was talking to him?
Yes.
Or was he upholding the the tenor of the sport by throwing him out because he was saying something to a fan? I couldn't figure that one out.
In the pool report post game, the official says that they thought that Luka was talking to the officials.
Right, of course.
Okay.
And Luka
that was a big old whoopsie daisy by the refs then.
Well, you know what it is?
He wasn't talking to the ref.
Right. But when you're the official and you are just officiating the game and you have a player who is directly yelling in your direction, it's hard to not take it as such. And I do think if you want to talk about a reputation, and it's a reputation sensation is what it is.
That's fair.
So Draymond Green goes to the basket and tries to score and his elbow hits a guy in the face. Well, it's Draymond. That's a flagrant. And when you're Luka Doncic and you're barking not at an official but toward an official, official is going to, in the same way, he's going to assume that the player is yelling at him.
I get it. Listen, we really want to get into some Brandon Pajemski stuff.
Big time.
And we'd love to hear from you, 888-957-9570. But while we're on this topic, can I say something unfair?
Sure.
I want to say something unfair right now. Luka, shut up.
Oh, boy.
That's not unfair. It's totally unfair. I root for a team that has Draymond Green. It's totally unfair.
Well, you've
unfair.
Said the same thing about Draymond Green.
Well, not really. Not really.
Well, I have.
A lot of people have. But Draymond Green, I would argue, needs that. It's literally at the core of a lot of what he does. Draymond is a defensive genius. Draymond is a heartbeat energy guy. Draymond is someone who, his talking, that is him. He can't, when the game ends and there's no one to talk to, he'll get his own microphone and find Baron Davis and talk to him. It's who he is. Dylan Brooks, I can't stand you, but I'd never say that to you. You guys don't have the offensive talent that Luka Doncic does. And NBA trash talk is very much at the core of the league. Kobe and MJ and these guys talked all kinds of stuff, but they did it in a much more subtle way, the way that you do it. It's a little under your breath. It's in the face of the opponent. Y'all have that conversation with each other, and off you go. Luka, whether it's the refs, the fans, the other team, even when he's not speaking, the palms are up constantly. He won't go play defense. Dude, if you're really one of the most talented offensive players in the world, shut up. God, watching you play basketball is infuriating. And we talked about this last week surrounding the Laker game. I can't believe, I think Laker fans are so desperate to get back to their championship ways, they've convinced themselves that this is the next guy to sort of like carry the entertainment torch for Laker basketball. And I think it's laughable. Like, you tell me, play that old game that we used to with the cartoons when we were kids. Which one of these is not like the other? All right? Ready? Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Luka Doncic. Which one of these is not like the other?
Yep.
Which one?
Well, it's probably Luka.
Of course it is.
I mean, he, on the surface, can be in the same conversation as a player eventually. He's young, he's talented, he's really good. He's done some winning at that level, but the way he comports himself, it doesn't work. And I think about other players like Kobe Bryant and trash talk and Michael Jordan, I don't recall them ever having to trash talk a fan, and that's what got Luka his second tech.
Yeah.
Because there was a fan that clearly was in his ear, and so he spun around to try to get out a fan. Like, he's a fan.
Yeah, just
he's a fan.
It's wild. But anyway, 888-957-9570. You said something about an hour ago. We're chit-chatting, and it started to come up on the crossover, but there's a lot more meat on the bone. Brandon Pajemski, okay, last 11 games. Since his most recent injury, he's come back. He's played 11 games. He's averaging over 18.5 points per night. 11-game stretch. 18.5 points per game. And he leads the NBA in three-pointers made. 42 three-pointers in those 11 games. You don't need to be good at math to realize that that is almost and approximately four made threes per night over these 11 games. Sustainability is the question. It sounded to me like you don't think it is.
Well, this, what he's done in 11 games, I don't believe it is sustainable, because if he does this over the course of however long, well, then he becomes the best three-point shooter percentage-wise in the history of the game. No one has ever shot 51 or 52% from three. So if you want to project this out over a playoff run and think that he's going to do this, I think that that's pie in the sky thinking. And I'm looking at the games, 19 games after he got hurt the first time, and it overlaps a little bit with when Jimmy arrived, and he was 34% from three. He was 14 a game, and he was, you know, getting six rebounds a night. Six rebounds a night is what he does. He loves to rebound.
He does.
He's great at it. And early in the year, he was an awful three-point shooter. Middle of the year, he was okay, trending toward being better. And the last 11 games, he's been the best three-point shooter we've ever seen, including Steph Curry. So is that sustainable? Well, if it is, then let's go ahead and talk about when the parade's going to be. Because if Pods shoots 51% from three and he gets you 18 or 19 a night, and Steph is good, and Draymond, and Jimmy, and Kuminga, and whatever else, then, yeah, now maybe we do have action in June.
Okay, let's change this from sustainable and more focus on what is needed from Pajemski in the playoffs. As I said in the crossovers, next playoff game will be his first.
Yep.
And we know this is why none of us think that Houston is a problem. Houston, you're not a problem. Why? Well, because you're all 22 years old. And none of you have ever played in the playoffs before. So it's a different game. It's a different sport. And you're going to wilt, or you're going to falter because of inexperience and all of that. Does that apply to Brandon Pajemski? So let's start there. What can the Warriors truly expect from Brandon Pajemski in the postseason? We'd love to take your calls. We've got some things we'd like to say on that. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Warrior Wednesday. We had a game last night. We got a game tonight. It's all brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Let's ride. Let's take your calls. Ramona Shelburne will be on at 4:15. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
30 seconds to go in the first quarter. Pajemski, baseline, shoots a shot, going 2-for-1, falling out of bounds. Just sick. A sick shot by Pajemski. And it's 37-24.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
What up, Pods?
Dude, sick.
Dude.
There's a, like, of all his field goals, two or three of them were like, okay, all right, heat check. You go ahead and just throw that S up.
Are you enjoying Pods' heat check more, or are you enjoying what appears to our eyes to be eight traveling violations at once that's not, with his Manu Ginobili Euro step, seemingly his ability to drive the hole and then suddenly have his legs be moving in slow motion while defenders fly by him so that he can lay the ball in. What's more fun to you?
Well, I do like the Euro step, and it's like the turtle step is what it is.
Yep.
And it's not a travel. For those of you...
It's not. You're right.
It's really not. If you want to be an aficionado of the association and you understand the rules, just because the move took 3.9 seconds, you might have called three in the key more than you would have called traveling, because that was not a travel. You're allowed to do what he did, which is stop, step, step, and then slowly
and then half
up,
step.
And a half step, but on the half step, on the half shell,
yeah,
you're putting it up, and that's legal, and it... And then he did some sort of a celebration. It was almost like a namaste. Like, he put his hands together.
Whatever.
Like, yeah, and I was wondering, and I asked the YouTube audience earlier before Steiny shamed me into not being on there anymore, but I was wondering what that was, because I didn't, you know, we know the night-night, and we know when it's an and one, and Draymond does the flex move and all that. I just didn't know what the pods celebration was moment.
We're going to have to ask him next time he comes on. It was you, right? A couple weeks ago, that was like proposing celebrations to him.
Yep.
And yeah, what was it you were trying?
Well, I was
like,
asking him if he to, like, thought about his... hitting him with the night-night.
Oh, okay.
Because like Draymond's now doing it, and so Steph's doing it, and he hit a shot that was night-night worthy.
Yeah.
And he said basically, "No, I'm gonna leave that to them." And then last night when he did that Euro slug step, the snail step as I call it, he did hit a certain, like, celebration. I thought it was like a namaste yoga pose, Grant.
Well, it's oftentimes players hit the Euro and then they like run up the court and they hit the Euro like a phantom Euro up
right,
the court.
Right,
and what I saw, I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but what I saw is he just hit his phantom D-cell move where he like started to move and then just stopped and stood there and then kept going again, like he, the way he scored the basket.
Well,
like a D-cell celebration.
Whatever it weird. Is,
yeah, he's got a very unique thing going on.
Yeah.
He's got a very unique thing going on, and it's awesome. This guy is a player. Now, what can he do in the playoffs? We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to our engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll here in just a second. But here's the thing, man. I don't think this is like all young players. You know, we do this a lot, and I think that it's fair. I don't know what he's going to do in the playoffs, and I'm not saying – suddenly that he needs to average 18 or 19 a night in the playoffs. I think there will be nights where Brandon Pajemski's your second leading scorer. There might be nights where he's your fourth leading scorer. You know, you asked me in the other room, and this is, I guess, kind of catty corner to the conversation that we had yesterday, like, who's your number two scorer? Well, still Jimmy Butler. He's going to average the second amount of points for the Warriors over a long haul. But there are nights where it can be Brandon. There are nights where it could be Kuminga. Who knows? Moody might put something together for a night. Man, I went to a game. Grandy, was that the Pistons game where Draymond had 18 in the first half, or the Raptors game? It was the Raptors game.
Raptors.
Wasn't it? Yeah, the night Steph got hurt. 18 points in the first half. So, like, I don't really care who it comes from, but I see this. I don't want to use the word sustainable, but I see this as believable. How about that?
That's fair.
I see this as believable, that a player who played a lot of college basketball and has gotten a lot of minutes in the last 2 years and clearly fits what the Warriors are doing, I see it as believable that, yes, what we're watching Brandon do right now continues into the postseason.
It absolutely can, and I don't want to like portray this as flukish, because you look at an 11-game stretch when he's shooting 52% from three. He's 42 for 81, which is almost four threes made per game. And at the start of the year, he was really, really bad at shooting the three. In the middle of the year, he was okay. Okay to slightly better than okay. He was league average, and then the last 11 games, he's been absolutely banana land. So when you look at the totality of Brandon Pajemski as an NBA player, and he's now played 135 games, which is a good solid sample, he's shooting 38% from three. Earlier this year, it was 20. Then it was 34, and of late, it's been 52.
Yep.
So is he 20, 34, or 52, you know what he is? He's a 38% from three shooter for his career. So for me, to expect him to go like this in the playoffs for a long stretch, doesn't seem plausible, but...
No, but I'd take 40. I'll take 40.
I do think that 40 is something that you can look at. Absolutely. And, you know, what he was earlier in the year, and for whatever reason, I don't even know if he can, like, put words to it, but he started out 0-4, 1-5, 0-5. So you're 1-14 through three games, and then he had a 0-3, he had a 1-6, he had a 0-5. He was really, really struggling from three, and then middle of the year he got better. Then Jimmy came, and, you know, since Jimmy came and he got healthy, the last 11 games have been almost historic. And you mentioned it, he leads the league since February...
March 18th.
March
11 games. This 11-game stretch, he has more three-pointers made than any human that wears a basketball uniform.
Right. So is it flukish? Maybe. But I do think that his middle ground is what he's been his whole career, which is 38%. And if he shoots 6 or 7 threes a game and you shoot 38%,
yeah,
that right there is 9 or 10 points.
I tell you what, man, it's pretty exciting. I do have this development from the league as well. Since we were talking about the Luka thing earlier, the league has notified the Los Angeles Lakers that the second technical foul on Luka Doncic, which kicked him out of a one-point game that they then lost by 16, has been rescinded.
Yeah. Good job, NBA.
Yeah, so that's the league saying, whoops, our bad. However, again, the Lakers, I believe, led by one on a basket by Luka when that technical was called, and then they went on to get outscored by 17 the rest of the way.
Yeah, you hate to see it, Mark.
Certainly hate to see it for those of us that laid the 9.5. Boy, what a bummer. What a bummer.
Oh, you had OKC and you laid the 9.5?
Totally.
Wow.
Totally.
And at that moment, that was what, late third or early fourth?
It was early fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went in, I think, about tied. They went into the fourth quarter, and then, OKC won by 16 points.
Right. And this is a lesson for all you kids out there. When you put yourself in that much peril, first of all, he already had a tech.
He did.
And I don't know what the tech was for. I didn't watch the entire game.
For being Luka.
Thank you.
Yep.
So you already got a tech for palms up, arguing, flopping, complaining, crying. So now your margin for error is non-existent. And so if you want to trash talk a fan in the direction of an official, you're putting yourself in peril.
That's why I said what I said earlier. Luka,
right.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Just, dude, you're too good for this offensively. You don't need to do this after every basket. Just shut up. Stop. It's crazy.
Stop.
Dub Nation, let's get engaged. We're on our knee. Before every game, you can vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page, and it's brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings. And I want you to listen to this part. Their unmatched free lifetime warranty. How good does that make you feel? Visit ShaneCo.com today. All right. Other than the big three of Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, which Warrior do you think is most important to their playoff success? Your options today, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, Jonathan Kuminga, or other. And other obviously means Buddy Hield or GP2 or whatever. Head to 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. Vote now. We'll check in on those results throughout the show. But again, other than the big three, which Warrior is most important to their playoff success? Moody, Pods, JK, or other? Pods. It's Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah, it's JK for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's JK for me because I do think that, you know, Pods, what he's done of late certainly is so impactful and it's been incredible. I don't know if that will continue. I do think that JK, if he can play at the level that we have seen, I'm not saying that he has to have the ha-ha and he doesn't have to cook and all the rest of it, but athleticism, rebounding, defending, intangibles, if he does the things that Steve Kerr is kind of looking for from him, then I think the JK ceiling, like the Brandon Pajemski ceiling that we've seen the last 11 games is bananas. I don't know if that can continue, so for me, it's JK.
I'm interested in what you're saying. I get where you're coming from. To me, you're looking at, and this is, I'm inflating it a little bit, but Brandon Pajemski is going to play darn near twice as many minutes. He's a more important player for the Warriors right now.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
I mean,
he has played twice as many.
And I don't think it'll be that much in the playoffs, but it'll be 70% more. He's just more important. He's going to start. He's going to finish. He's going to be on the floor a whole lot more. He's a way better shooter. This is not me coming down Jonathan's road at all. I want Jonathan, as I've said for weeks now, focus on rebounding, defense, and your free throw shooting. And my God, you can be very productive and very, very important to this team, and they need them both. But Pods is a core player now. He is a core player on this team. And we'll let you hear what they said about him last night, Steve Kerr and others. But let's get out to the phones. Coach in Vallejo. Hey, Coach, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I'm with Dibs. I think Kuminga, for the reason that Dibs said, will be the more important player, because Kuminga can finish through contact. And in the playoffs, they kind of put the whistles away. He made a shot the other night where he was absolutely clobbered, and he made a nice fall-away jump shot. But also, too, like Dibs was saying, somebody has to guard the point guard on the other team. The Warriors, Pajimski can't do that, okay? The dribble penetration is going to be a bugaboo for the Warriors because they have no rim protector. So that's where Wiggins was very important. Jimmy Butler cannot guard the point guard. Right now, the starting lineup, Moses Moody always guards the point guard, if you notice, to stop dribble penetration. But I think Kuminga and his athleticism, his speed and his size is going to be very important out front. Hopefully GP2 is healthy also. Brandon can shoot the ball. He's been shooting the ball well. But guess what? In the playoffs, that little slow-mo stuff and the ticky-tack fouls and things like that and standing in the middle of the key trying to get a charge, that's not going to happen in the playoffs. So I think that Kuminga will probably be the guy who needs to rise to the occasion, and that's what I'm hoping for. But hopefully the Warriors will do well. But this is an area where Jimmy Butler do not help them, is guarding the point guard out front.
Well, look, Coach, he's important. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. He's very important. And our listeners who are really P1s and tapped into this, they know Coach and I have had our moments with Jonathan Kuminga. When Coach wants to come down my road, though, this is the one thing that I'll tell Coach next time he calls. Like, when he wants to come down my road, he calls a different show. Coach, call us. Like, don't be afraid.
You're saying he comes down your road on the midday
show? On Steiny and Goo. Oh. Yes, but if we're all simpatico, then he'll call us. Coach, just call us and call them. Like, it's fine. We're not going to bite.
We're all family here.
We're all just talking Warrior basketball here. Yeah. Coach, you tend to think that Jonathan Kuminga is a better finisher than I think he is. I don't think he's a bad finisher. I don't think he's, like, a great finisher. Not yet. He's not. And it all comes from the same place. And this is my issue, and this is why I would pick Pods over JK. Coach has some very valid points there. Defensively, Jonathan's important. Athletically, Jonathan is important. But the bottom line is what the Warriors are trying to do strategically on offense. Brandon knows exactly what to do, and Jonathan doesn't. That's what I see. Jonathan looks hesitant. The ball hits his hands, and there's that moment of like, y'all want me to drive? Or do you want me to, what do you want me to do? Okay, now I'm going to try to do it. I love the kid. I want him to be more decisive, even if he's wrong. What I want to go away is that moment where it looks like he's looking around going, what do you all want me to do here? I don't see that with a lot of other players. I see it sometimes with Buddy Hield, because that's kind of who Buddy is.
Yeah.
I don't see it with Pods. Pods, Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond are starters because they know seemingly exactly where they know where everybody's going to be, and they know exactly what they want everybody to do in a given moment. And that's why that starting lineup with Moses, who's also happy to find open space and try to knock down threes in that group, that whole group, that's why they've lost one game as starters. They are making music. And Jonathan is still looking for his instrument. He just is. Doesn't take away from his importance, but to me, I think if you can get a Pods to play like he's playing right now, that would easily be the most important thing for the Warriors in the playoffs.
I also think part of it is what we discussed yesterday, which is the lack of other players who can play Pods' position, which is backup point guard, because Kuminga is alongside Moses and Jimmy and GP2, guys who are good wing players. So if Kuminga is one of four who can play the wing, and Pods is one of two who could be a backup point guard, well, then Pods' import and his minutes are going to be greater just by the very fact that there's more of a paucity at that position. But I think about Kuminga as an on-ball defender better than Pods, yep. And Kuminga as just an athletic force better than Pods. Pods a much better shooter. I think he's got more big game and more NBA experience. He's played more minutes in his first 2 years than Kuminga did his first 2 years.
For sure.
And he played more college than Kuminga did, which was zero. So the players, even though one's a two-year player, one's a four-year player, their experience is very much comparable. And I won't make this about like basketball IQ or basketball fit, but what Pods is able to do with this team in his role is really impactful. And I do think that JK is still kind of searching for, with Jimmy Butler, how he can best be a part of this team.
You don't have to use the IQ phrase. Steve Kerr did last night. Now, this was not a conversation about Jonathan Kuminga at all, but he did label this particular starting lineup as a very, very high IQ group. Take a listen to some of the things that Steve Kerr said last night about Brandon Pajemski.
It's changed everything, you know, just the last month or so, knocking down the threes, feeling so confident back there. But the way he can get to the rim, uses Euro step, the way he runs through the catch against closeouts and breaks the defense down and either scores or finds somebody else for an open shot. Brandon is generating a ton of offense for us.
So then he was asked, do you believe that Pods has officially taken the next step?
I do, yeah. He's definitely taken a leap the last month. And, you know, it's really coincided with Jimmy's arrival. The two of them have this great connection. Brandon solidified his spot as a starter. You know, I've always felt when you can stack together a lot of high IQ players, the game becomes easier for everyone. And that's what I'm seeing right now between Jimmy, you know, BP, Draymond, Steph. It's really fun to watch them all click.
Yeah, those four, and that's the label, when you can stack a bunch of high IQ players. And by the way, I know that becomes like this trigger point this year in talking Warrior basketball. If you call someone high IQ, it means you're calling somebody else dumb if they're not on your list. I don't want to get into any of that. I think the Warriors are a high IQ basketball team. It is one of their biggest weapons. It is why I would take them to beat the Houston Rockets if that series were ever to happen. I would take the Warriors because of IQ. The Rockets have the height. The Rockets have the athleticism. They've also got all the 22-year-olds. And so the Warriors, they play very high IQ basketball. It's one of the reasons they've won as much as they have the last 12 years.
Yeah, and Pods is also a 22-year-old. He might be 21. I don't know I don't have his ID in front of me, but I know that he's equally young, but he plays with a certain amount of poise. And again, we can praise Pods without making this about Jonathan Kuminga, and he is 22. Thank you for that. And Moses Moody is about the same age, and Moses played deep into the NCAA tournament at Arkansas, and then he's come out here, and now in year three or year four, he's gotten a certain amount of experience as well. So, yeah, when you talk about younger players playing alongside veterans, what you're looking for is this sort of a poise. And what Pods did last night, I think, goes beyond just being confident. Right now, he is feeling some type of way, like a baseball player who sees the ball coming in and it looks like a watermelon. Right now, Pods, when he gets the basketball, he's thinking, not only am I the best player on the floor, I might be the best player in the history of the game.
He's the one, actually, who might benefit the least from this week off that everyone's trying to get. Like, I actually see that as a potential net negative for Brandon Pajemski, because he's in the flow, man. He's in the flow and he's 22. So I don't want Brandon taking a week off. He needs to take a week off because the Warriors need a week off. So that's fine. I'm not suggesting that not, you know, be the case for the Warriors. Obviously, you want to avoid the play-in tournament. But I wonder. I wonder with a week off and then suddenly when you return, it's playoff basketball, the first of your career, I wonder how that'll go for Brandon. Might knock him out of his zone.
It might, but if you look at what he's done now for the better part of a month, he's been so in the zone. We mentioned 52% from three, and just watching it back right now, all of his field goal attempts, and he's hitting contested threes, open threes, Euro steps. He had a couple of step backs from about 18 or 19 feet. Right now he's feeling it, and I don't know if that goes away over 6 days. It doesn't feel like it to me, but you watch him play, and he is absolutely in his feels right now.
Let's keep going with y'all. Desmond in D.C. Hi, Desmond. Thanks for calling.
Yo, what is up?
What's going on?
Yo, it's got to be Brandon Pajemski, man. I mean, if you remember the 2022 championship, Jordan Poole went off. And I think Brandon Pajemski is going to do the same thing. He's going to go off, and the Warriors are going to go all the way to a championship. Let's go!
All right, Desmond. That's going to be enough of that. The question we're throwing out there, other than the big three veterans, who is going to be most important to the Warriors' playoff success? Moody, Pods, Kuminga, or other? Dibs has pointed to Kuminga. I'm pointing to Pods. I will kind of piggyback on some of what we just talked about, and we can get to this a little further in the 3 o'clock hour with regard to just this whole bucket of teams here in the Western Conference. It's interesting because Oklahoma City has separated themselves. You'd be crazy to not put them on the list, but I actually don't think that of all eight of these really good teams, I think less than half of them actually have the potential to come out of the West.
That's fair.
Less than half of them.
And the Warriors are in that upper half.
Absolutely.
Agreed. And if you look at the historical data around Oklahoma City and the fact that they have the best point differential in the regular season in the history of the league, the group of teams that they are with, they all have won the NBA championship.
Correct.
All of them. All of the other five in the top six have won the title.
More on that coming up. More of your phone calls coming up. So Franklin and Jarvin, we're coming. 888-957-9570. The Warriors back home tonight with the Spurs in town. Warriors Live, Evan Giddings turn this time, 6 o'clock. Presented by Xfinity Stream Sports. From the best seat in the house with Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs.